What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast and Happy Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. It is true. The rumors are true. We made it to Friday. Pat yourselves on the back. You did it. We're so proud of you. And it's just beautiful.
It's a beautiful day. The rumors are true.
I deleted my Twitter. Yeah, it's Friday. Like, can you believe it?
I can't believe it. I was just snapping along and just reminding myself of my middle finger pain, which I still have.
Did you get a splint?
Someone reached out to me, told me that it is a nerve pain and that I need to do some physical therapy. And
that's just a lie.
No, it's not. It's
not
a lie.
Did you even try the splint? Like the most basic thing?
No, I didn't do a splinty vibe yet.
Sleep with it in a splint for one night, and I promise you, like, your life will be changed.
Okay. I mean,
before
I also
you
feel
go
like,
down the route of, like, nerve endings.
Okay, but I also feel like at the wellness retreat, like, they definitely have, like, a physical therapist, and, like, I might actually get some physical therapy, you know?
I don't know if I would assume that the wellness retreat has a physical therapist.
I think the wellness retreat has everything. And also, it's not, I feel like wellness retreat is a little misleading because, like, wellness retreat sounds to me like yoga, Reiki, healing,
that's not
crystals.
It.
No, it's not it. This is a fitness retreat.
Oh my, that sounds like torture.
You guys, this is the last day you're going to see me before I go on my retreat.
BR.
Of wellness and fitness.
Before retreat.
Before retreat. So take a good look at me now. Take a look at me now. I actually might look well.
That's such a good song. What song is that?
It's enough to remind me, just the memory of your face. So take a look at me now. I don't know.
Against all odds, Phil Collins. And that's what
Gavin DeGraw. Gavin DeGraw against all odds.
Phil Collins.
It's Gavin DeGraw.
Wait, hold on. It's literally Phil Collins.
It's literally Mr. DeGraw.
Against all odds, he and that's what...
Okay, well,
hold on.
He
I've
covers
got
it.
A face.
Gavin DeGraw covers it, though.
Okay, it is Against All Odds by Phil Collins.
Mm-hmm. And Gavin DeGraw.
No.
Against... I can hear it in my...
Maybe he covers it?
That's what I'm saying. And that's
okay.
The better version.
Gavin DeGraw. Well, I know the original. I'm actually a big Phil Collins
it's
fan.
It's not coming up.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. AZ Lyrics, Gavin DeGraw Against All Odds.
Great.
So take a look at me now. Yeah, I guess he did a cover, but...
It's remarkable.
You know what I've learned in my old age is that, like, I'm a big Phil Collins girl.
You are.
True Colors is such a good song.
No, and, like, and you're such an Emily...
Emily Lucy Pop... What?
What's her name?
Emily in Paris is Phil Collins' daughter. What's her name? Lily Collins. Lily
Lucy
Collins.
Lucy Collins.
I was thinking Lucy,
I'm
too.
I'm like, Emily Collins doesn't sound right.
No, she... That's, like, the type of nepotism, like, I fully support, you know?
Yeah. What I was going to say is, even though I'm BR, I might look well today because I drank an entire gallon of water yesterday.
I saw you got a new water bottle.
I got a new water bottle. I was influenced by Olivia Culpo. She showed this water bottle that, like, gives you all these benchmarks to... drink a gallon of water each day, and I got the water bottle, and it is massive.
How many times did you pee?
I peed a lot, but because, like, they give you markers 7 a.m., 9 a.m., like, I really tried to, like, be on schedule, and that did split up the pees quite evenly, and it wasn't, like, ruining my day how many times I had to pee. But you know what did make my day, aside from being a hydrated queen?
Hmm.
I made a chili.
So did I.
And I think it's a tale of two chilies because...
Your chili made your day. Mine ruined mine.
My chili was so wonderful, so I had... ground turkey in the fridge that was like on its last day, like needed to cook tonight. So I followed a half-baked harvest recipe, white bean and turkey chili. I cooked it on the stove even though she calls for a slow cooker. Like, I'm sorry, I don't have one. And I also don't have an Instapot. So I just like modified the Instapot
recipe. Did you use
recipe.
Your Le Creuset?
No, my Le Creuset is like in storage. And so I just used...
You got to get your Le Creuset out of storage.
I know. I just used a pot on the stove.
I use my Le Creuset.
I mean...
So here's what happened.
You're not one to talk. Anyway, so I just want to say, like, 5 stars, one of the best chilies I've ever made. Way better than my vegetarian chili. Zach loved it.
What, like, it's like, hard? Sorry, the vegetarian chili.
You know what I also realized is, like, as long as you have, like, a decent chili, once you put the sour cream and cheese on top, if you're into that, and avocado, anything can be a delicious chili, really. So there's a lot of room for error, but this was just a fantastic chili. Thank you for the recommendation. It was a bright spot for me.
Mine was just like
not for me, a
full day of like torture. Like, okay, so the second I decided to make a chili, I ordered from the butcher and I got like the 4 through 8 window. And of course it came at 8. Like, why couldn't it have come at 4? And so it was just like all day waiting around for the meat. And then I like got all the ingredients. I got the beans and the canned tomatoes. And then by the time like all the stuff was actually at my house, it was already 8 o'clock and I was so fucking hungry. So I wasn't in the mood to like, a good chili needs to sit. It needs to marinate. So I just like made it really half-assed, and then like the second all the shit was in the bowl, I like stirred it and ate it, even though like that those canned tomatoes like need time to like soak up the juice of the onions.
How long did you leave it in all the shit in the bowl? You need at least 25
I did 20 minutes. It needed more.
Okay.
It needed more. And so it was fine, and me and Ben were like, it's fine. Ben was being nice. It just like wasn't great. And then my stomach started to hurt. I'm like, did I just give myself diarrhea? So it was like a whole journey. And
what do you think it was? Maybe you had like raw meat.
I got it fresh from the butcher
today. No, but like maybe the meat wasn't cooked. No.
The meat was fully browned before I even added like the tomatoes and stuff.
Okay. Maybe you got like
That's my biggest phobia.
Maybe you got a little like meat salmonella juice on your hand or something.
But the meat was fresh, so.
No, but like raw meat can carry...
No, I just think, like, I ate a lot of something that, like, wasn't that good. So, like, I shouldn't have eaten it, you know?
Okay.
Like,
sorry.
If I were to simplify it. No, it was just, like, a whole day's journey. And then I was like, why did I even sign up for this stupid fucking activity?
I mean, I hate to hear that because it was such a bright spot for me.
And that's why I just should, like, let Ben do it. But he didn't get home till 7, and I was, like, really hungry.
Well, the meat didn't get there till 8.
No, sorry. He didn't get home till 8. So, like, he was leaving as the food arrived. So I'm like, let me just get started. And then, like, who am I kidding? You know?
Yeah.
Who the fuck am I kidding?
But now I have chili for days in my fridge. So I'll be having chili for lunch, chili for dinner, chili until I go to my retreat.
Oh my God. You think they have chili at the retreat?
Chili is, it could be a healthy delicacy. So it's possible. But I'm not going to eat meat. So Everything's got to be veg for your girl.
So this is basically your send off. We're so excited for you. We are really wishing you the best. We will keep you in our thoughts. Monday through Wednesday of next week, Ben and I will be hosting here at the studio, so make sure to tune in for that. And then Thursday, Friday of next week, there are no episodes because me and Ben will be traveling. But I think we should just like get this send off kicked off.
Okay. I mean, I'm gonna miss everyone. I want to thank you all for your.
I'm gonna miss everyone. It's like camp.
Thank you all for your support. Like, I hope that when I come back, I have like stories and joie de vivre and so much to share and like insights, maybe some takeaways that I can relay to the group at large. Mm-hmm. I'm a little nervous. I'm not gonna lie, because it's like it's literally first day of camp, and like
you have to make friends.
Exactly. It's gonna be like a lot of, I think, time alone. So if you have any great book recommendations, send them my way.
Jackie will of course be vlogging the entire experience for our Patreon channel, so head over to patreon.com/themorningtoast.
Yeah, so I don't know, you know, what sort of journey the video is going to take me on. Like, is it going to be uplifting? Is it going to get sad and dark?
Is it going to be like you regret like the second you get there? Like, right. That is a possibility. We just have to put that out on the table.
It is a possibility.
But I don't think so. I don't want to say where you are, but like, you're going to be somewhere fabulous. Like, how bad could it be?
Yeah. Truly, how bad could it be? And also, I'm just going to have, it's only 7 days. Like, even if it's not what I wanted it to be, like, I'm going to stick it out.
Is there any chance you go home early?
It would have to be, like,
really, really bad.
Like, unsafe.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So well, keep us updated, please.
We shall see. Just want to thank you all once again, like, for your belief in your girl and for encouraging me to follow my dreams.
No, and that's like, what we're constantly preaching here at the Morning Toast. Like, if there's something you want to do, there's an itch you have, scratch it. And that's what you fucking did. And you're an inspiration to women everywhere.
Thank you, guys.
For scratching your own itches.
Thank you guys so much. I hope this is the start of a beautiful journey. And
you know what it is? It's the start of something new.
And turning things around, you know? We've got to
turn the beer around. Left to hip percussion.
I actually need to go shopping today and, like, get fitness clothes.
You should go to like Athleta.
Lululemon, Aloe, etc. So that's like not a fun activity, but maybe I can make it fun.
Well, I'm headed to Bucks County. Me, Margo, and Ben are spending the weekend with TPG. And honestly, I'm a little upset because I want a TPG all to myself, but he insisted I bring my husband and my sister. So I'll just have to like corner him for some special alone time.
Yeah, you'll have to like lock Snitch and Ben in a room and throw away the key.
Or like put like a sleeping pill in their drinks so like they sleep all day. And I'm like, oh, they must be so tired. Brian, want to go for a drive?
Stop. Okay, well, I guess without further ado, here are the fast five stories you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And I'm excited to dive in, and I'm excited to let everyone know that today's episode is brought to you by Martha Stewart and Marley Spoon, the meal kit delivering a curated variety of chef-designed recipes by America's most trusted home chef, Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart and Marley Spoon make great-tasting meals possible every day of the week by delivering a variety of recipe options ranging from breakfast to dinner to desserts. Meals feature both the classic flavors you love, plus new and exciting flavors you'll want to discover. They have a new menu of 29 deliciously different recipes every week. All the recipes can have 6 simple steps and 10 ingredients, and they can be prepared in just about 30 minutes. Ordering is super easy, and it removes the burden of grocery shopping and meal planning. So when it comes to meal kits, if you're going to get one, like, why not the one that was literally made by Martha Stewart? Me last night making my chili, like, thinking I'm Martha Stewart, and then when it tasted like it's so disgusting, like, we all emulate Martha Stewart in our kitchens. Now we literally can.
Right. Marley Spoon would never have done that to you.
Never. So if you're tired of cooking the same old dinners every day, you can break out
tired
of your
food. Tired of making yourself sick.
If you're tired of giving yourself diarrhea every night, you can break out of your food rut with Martha Stewart and Marley Spoon, the meal kit with chef-designed recipes from America's most trusted home chef. Martha Stewart, one of America's favorite home chefs, wants to make dinner for you. Let her. If you're tired of the same old, and you're a Morning Toast listener, you can save $100 off your first 4 orders and get free shipping on the first delivery. Use code TOAST, that's code T-O-A-S-T. You can imagine eating deliciously different chef-quality meals every day of the week. Go to marleyspoon.com, that's M-A-R-L-E-Y, spoon.com, and the code is TOAST for $100 off your first 4 orders and free shipping on the first delivery. Check it out.
Love it. Okay, first story, the story that you want to talk about most today. Dogecoin spikes 300% in a week, stoking fears of a cryptocurrency bubble, but also very exciting for Claudia Ashray and all Doge owners.
Okay, I pulled up my
we moved the business to the front today.
Okay, so I don't know what Doge is. I don't. But a lot of Ben's friends work in finance, and they told us like a few weeks ago, like, buy some Dogecoin. And in my Robinhood, I have Robinhood, but I really don't, like, it's not like real, like I don't put in a lot of money. It's just like, you know, maybe in the last like 2 years, I made $1,000. So like, it's like small time, you know? And I had $200 to spend on like anything. And they were like, you have to get Dogecoin. So it was 0.04. So it was 4 cents when I bought it. I spent the $200. And I've been like checking it every now and then. It was like kind of like stagnant at 0.08, which whatever, like I doubled my money. That's great. But something happened last night. Like, I don't know. I can't explain. I don't even know what Dogecoin is. And I can't explain, like, why it went up. But last night and this morning when I checked, it was at 0.39. So that's 39 cents when I bought it at 4 cents. That is, like, 8 times, I think. No, it's 9. It's 9. It's 9 times. It's 9. So my $200, now I'm looking at my Robinhood, is worth... make it so confusing. $1,500.
Wow.
But I don't have the $1,500. And I'm like, should I sell it and get myself my $1,500? I don't know.
I think I should keep going. Dogecoin to the moon. That's all I know about Dogecoin. And I'm sorry, 39 cents is not the moon.
No, but they did say they think it could get to a dollar. Like, that would be crazy. And now I'm like,
I'm
hitting myself only spending $200.
You've got to ride the ride. That's part of it. It is like gambling. You know, you.
Yeah.
Obviously, you should get up from the table when you're winning. But I also think gambling is different because you keep putting more money in, whereas like this is you have your set money. Regardless of what happens, you are losing or win. Like, it's $200
and in. And with gambling, like, the philosophy is you really should not gamble money that you don't have. So when you sit down at a gambling table, you are okay losing the money because, like, you're supposed to be able to part with the money. But with stocks, like, these are people's savings. Like, they're trying to grow it. So, like, this is money, actually, you really can't afford to lose, you know? Most yes. people. This for me, I just like put like $500 in like a few years ago and like I play around with it.
Yes, but I feel like with gambling, it could become like a bottomless pit of course. Trying to put your money in. Whereas if stocks, if you're like not having success, I don't think you have that same like, it's not that same like adrenaline rush of sitting at a table.
No, and I think for the most part.
Like if you get all your balance sheets back and they're all in the red, right. you're not like, give me more.
For the most part, and correct me if I'm wrong, like the stock market is a long game. So at the end of the day, like over the course of many years, for the most part, every stock like pretty much goes up, like eventually.
Unless it goes down.
For with the rare case of like, you know, Franny Mac, you know?
Yes, Franny Mac. No, like WeWork, yeah.
Right, like that was like a once in a lifetime.
But not every stock goes up. Like a lot of stocks go down. Because you might like, you just can't predict the trends.
No, I know. I just feel like overall, like with the main companies in the country, like everyone knows, like obviously like Apple, Disney, Google.
Yeah.
For the most part, like they just go up.
Yeah, but they're also like super expensive.
And like some weeks they dip down. But for the most part,
yeah, it's a long game, which is why you and your few weeks of Doge need to sit on your hands.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And throw your phone
away. But I
could
have 1,000. Oh, no, it's going down 1,497.
Stop looking. Stop checking.
No, but it's crazy that it's gone up so much because it says today's return. So since midnight of this morning, I've already made $400. But, like, I don't have the $400.
Well, you could. But that's the same with the stock market. Like, you don't have it yet until you take it out.
But, like, I want it.
So take it out.
No.
And then
because
you're
if it goes to a dollar and I'm the moron who sold at 0.40, like I will never recover.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dave Portnoy, who's like big in day trading, like got rid of Dogecoin a while ago. And like last night was tweeting like, cause he was furious. It tripled nine times. Like,
yeah.
So I'm not going to be that person. I think I'd rather lose my $200 than miss out on a huge opportunity.
100%. And also, I think...
It just feels like I'm losing $1,500 because I have like $1,500 now technically, but I don't even have it.
Yeah. But also with Dogecoin, considering it's like started as sort of a joke, like it's literally a meme that was turned into a yes. cryptocurrency, you're in it for the experience.
You know, and honestly, I just want to be a part of something. Like I just want to be a part of a community.
You're a part of something with Dogecoin.
I'm a part of a movement, like a generational movement. Like this will be in like finance books in a few years.
Right, and if you pull out, like then also that part goes into the finance book of the people who pulled out.
No, and I'm also like... low-key influential, so I feel like I could actually like help the Doge, like everyone, like keep the Doge, keep buying the Doge, 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 Doge,
Doge, Doge, Doge.
Yeah.
Okay, well I'm really happy for you.
No, it's a thrill.
And keep us posted.
I was talking to one of Ben's friends who like works in finance and like invests a lot in stocks, and he was like, I was asking him, I'm like, what do I do? And this is a few days ago. He said, I made like the decision, like if it ever gets to 0.30, which like it never will, I'm gonna sell it. And then, like, last night he texted me. He's like, oh, my God, never mind. It's already at 0.35. And I'm like, I wish I bought more. He's like, yeah, me too. I only bought $5,000. I'm like, what? I'm like, I bought 200. Like, I was embarrassed to even say I lied. I said I bought 500.
Yeah, you gotta risk it.
He was like, I'm so mad I didn't buy more. I'm like, you're fine. Okay, so by my math, my 200 to 1,500 is 7 times about. So you have $35,000, and you're complaining?
Wow.
If I was him, honestly, I might pull out.
Big risk, big reward.
Right. So I'm like mad that I only bought 200, but it makes it easier to like walk away from in a sense.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're in a good spot. You did what's best for you. You're on your own journey. Yeah. He's on his journey.
No, and like we're a part of something together.
100%. And I'm happy that you're a part of something.
You know me, like I hate being left out.
You hate being left out because you're not like other girls.
So if I have to lose $200.
You enjoy being left out.
If I have to lose $200 just to not be like other girls, cheap at the price.
Okay, you ready for our next story?
Yes, ma'am.
Prince Philip's funeral arrangements are being shared, including the guest list. His funeral will be on Saturday, and it will be smaller than, you know, what it would have been.
COVID.
But Buckingham Palace has revealed the 30 people who will make up the congregation at the Duke of Edinburgh's funeral service.
Very good.
Prince Philip, who died last Friday at the age of 99, is being laid to rest on Saturday at 3 p.m. British time, 10 a.m. Eastern time, at St. George's Chapel in Windsor, west of London. So the 30 people who are invited is a very close group of family, close friend or two, but mostly his children and their grandchildren.
I mean, like, COVID makes it so tough because just their immediate family is like 15 people.
Yeah. Most of the guest list is the princes and the dukes and right. of Essex and Wessex.
So, like, if it's limited to, like, 30 people, like, do Harry and Meghan get an invitation? Well, Harry?
Harry is there. I'm sure if Meghan had wanted to go, she has an invitation because all of the spouses are invited. And also the other bit of news that was shared is the procession, and Harry and William will not be walking next to each other. They'll be like William with someone and then Harry with someone.
Yeah, I also saw, I was reading something, I forget what it was, that like there's a lot of drama within the family about Prince Andrew and Prince Harry both wanting to like wear their official like
military garb,
which they're no longer eligible for. One, because Andrew is a disgrace who was stripped of like
all titles,
and Harry because he's not technically like a working military man or family or royal family member.
Yeah, I think they should both be wearing suits.
Yeah. It's just kind of crazy because like whenever my personal experience with funerals is always like in Judaism, like you have to bury someone the next day. Mm-hmm. So like if Prince Philip was Jewish, like he'd already be in the ground like for like a good amount of time. And I just like, I think it's so crazy that like he's like, where is he?
Yeah, no, he's almost there. It's actually like,
where's
pretty
the body
quick
chilling, you think,
forgetting
right now?
I don't know. Westminster Abbey, the hospital, the morgue.
Freezer.
Yeah, he's probably embalming.
Yeah.
Do you remember that episode of The Simple Life? I just said that Andrew and Harry should wear suits, but I actually think that Prince Philip would want them to wear their.
I don't think he would want Andrew.
I don't know. I think he would. He's like, I think that.
I mean, but like Prince Andrew is literally the definition of an absolute abomination, disgrace. Like,
yeah,
he shouldn't even be invited. And to be honest, he should be excommunicated from the entire country. Like, he's so disgusting. Like, I can't even compare him and Harry. Like, they're so different.
They are so different.
Like, Harry got into a fight with his brother. Like, Andrew is a full-blown criminal, and I don't think that he should be wearing the garb, and I don't even think he should be invited.
Well, we'll see what they're all wearing. I'm going to try and watch. I've been waking up so early these days.
Where do you watch it?
It'll be, like, on our morning shows on Saturday morning, like, a little coverage.
Do you remember that episode of The Simple Life when they worked at a funeral home and, like, were embalming people and, like, spray tanning them?
That's so scary.
Oh, my God. It was so funny. That was such a good show.
Such a good show, but that's, I could never.
No, I could never. Well, actually, I had dinner with Phaedra Parks a few months ago, and I asked her like a million questions. She embalms people. She owns a bunch of funeral homes, and she is a mortician. Is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so she knows all about, because she was explaining how like there's so many different like traditions for embalming Jewish people, and like she's certified in all of their religions. And I'm like, aren't you like grossed out? And she was like, no. I'm like,
that's okay. Crazy.
Like, perfect job for you.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yes, ma'am.
Pete Davidson will play punk rocker Joey Ramone in a new Netflix biopic. Saturday Night Live comedian Pete Davidson has been cast as Ramone singer Joey Ramone in the upcoming biopic based on the punk icon's life.
Oh, my God. Do you watch Entourage?
Sometimes. Like, I've seen a lot of episodes.
Like, do you know the Joey Ramone of it all?
No, that I'm unfamiliar.
Okay, well, like, this is, like, Adrian Grenier, like, was dying to play Joey Ramone, and he, like, found a script from this guy who was writing it, and it was, like, a whole storyline. So now I feel like Pete Davidson is literally living, like, Vinny Chase.
I literally hate Vinny Chase, so don't...
Hate!
He's literal Carrie Bradshaw of Entourage.
Yes! Susan Meyer!
He's horrible. I hate him on the show. Like, I hate everything about him.
I could not agree more. And the show is...
And like, Mark Wahlberg should be so embarrassed
that, like, that's what people
his,
think
like,
of him.
Fictional representation.
Sick. The worst fucking character. So irresponsible. So selfish. So narcissistic.
So self-righteous. Like, he literally thinks he's Mother Teresa because he has his friends with him.
No. And he literally, like, acted in one movie and then was like, I want to direct. Like, thought he was so fucking good at everything. And when Medellin bombed, I was so fucking happy.
Yeah, no, he really thought he was so good at everything.
He made one art film in New York, Queens Boulevard, and thinks he's entitled to, like, all of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, it actually was a really good show for, like, a million reasons.
Vinny's efforts, it was a good show.
And also, I think it was actually really accurately represented, like, how people get in Hollywood. Like, they are normal people from New York, from Queens, and then they come to L.A., like, thinking that they're everything of the sort. And, like, when it turns out that they're not, it's a real slap in the face.
Yeah.
Because, like, there are a few moments when, like, Vinny, like, literally can't get work. Because he's, like, such a joke in Hollywood.
Because,
like,
people have woken up.
Mudgy
fucking sucks.
And those are the best episodes, like, ever. Except, like, you want Vinny to win, because once he wins, everyone else wins. Like, rising tides raise all ships. Like, he funds the life of all the guys.
100%.
Well, except for E. So, like, you really want him to win, but you also, like, fucking hate him. And you want him to fail so we can get a reality check. Like, you're not that great.
100%.
I'm so glad you brought that up. It is the Carrie Bradshaw, Susan Meyer effect.
Yeah. Susan is annoying as hell, but I feel like Desperate Housewives is more of an ensemble cast, and it wasn't relying on Susan, but, like, Sex and the City is Carrie. Entourage is annoying ass Smitty.
Agreed. I wouldn't say that she's the main character of Desperate Housewives, but it definitely felt like in the first couple seasons they were trying to make it that way.
Yeah, she was, but like everyone else was like, you know, Gabby was like self-involved. Brie was so like stringent. Lillian, what's her name?
Lynette Scava.
Lynette was like great, like the all crazy over the place. Lynette. Like Edie is like, you know, seductive neighbor.
Yeah.
And I think Susan was meant to be like, you see yourself in Susan.
Right, like the normal one who struggles.
I'm good.
No, I see literally none of myself in Susan, and I plan to keep it that way.
Yeah. Anyways, the film, which is being developed by Netflix in collaboration with STX Films, will be based on and have the same title as Ramone's brother, Mickey Lee's 2009 book, I Slept with Joey Ramone, a family memoir. I guess
that's a funny name for a book.
That is really funny.
I like don't really know much about the Ramones, except I feel like I used to have a t-shirt. And I'm down there. I think they're Jewish, right? Like from Far Rockaway, right?
Oh, would love to see it.
Or they have a song called Rockaway Beach.
Maybe. One, it's one or the other.
Yeah, you know what? I'm pretty sure they're Jewish.
Yeah, let us know what you
the
find.
The Ramones, Jewish.
I think.
The Ramones were a band. Yes, they were from Forest Hills, Queens, that is Rockaway Beach, and a predominantly Jewish middle-class stronghold that bred arrestive. This is not English. Oh, man, RollingStone.com. This is what they wrote.
Truckers for the Ramones are here.
The Ramones, oh, they didn't share bloodlines. They weren't brothers.
I don't know.
But they did have an important common background of coming of age in suburbia, Forest Hills, Queens, a predominantly Jewish middle class stronghold that bred a new and restiveliness among its nonconformist youth. What is that sentence?
I have no idea.
Let me read it one more time.
Let me read. Yeah, let me see it. Okay, fine, I need to see it with grammar and
what
all.
What is the word anew? E-N-N-U-I.
N-U-I.
Oh.
No, but like, I don't know what it means still.
Read the whole sentence. Okay. It makes no fucking sense.
The Ramones didn't share bloodlines, but they did have the important common background of coming of age in suburbia. In Forest Hills, Queens, a predominantly Jewish middle-class stronghold that
You can't even read!
A predominantly Jewish middle-class stronghold that bred NUI and restiveliness.
See? It's literally not an English sentence.
What the fuck is restiveliness?
What's a restiveliness?
I don't know.
I'm shook by this. I just was looking up a simple, like, interesting factoid.
NUI.
Joey Ramone was Jewish.
It's French. You guys also wait.
Joey Ramone was Jewish.
I just need
to. Is Pete Davidson Jewish?
No, I need to sidebar for 1 second. Speaking of the French, Claudia's shirt yesterday, which sparked a whole Francophile episode about, you know, the Louvre, Eiffel Tower, Paris,
and how much
France,
I love a
Champs-Élysées, Arc de Triomphe,
a charcuterie board,
a little pain au chocolat,
Champs-Élysées.
Claudia's shirt yesterday had a bunch of buildings on it. The Eiffel Tower was not one of them.
No, there was literally like the Burj Khalifa.
There was literally nothing Parisian about it. It said like nightlife on it.
It was giving me Parisian vibes for sure.
It was giving me more like New York City, like Ben Dell's caricature vibes. Like there's nothing Parisian about that shirt.
Yeah, we just wanted to update you guys. Like we made all these jokes about my shirt being like so Parisian. I'm a Claudia in Paris. And literally there was not even a monument from Paris on my shirt.
Yeah, so that's just something I feel like everyone should know. But now back to the Ramones.
I'm looking forward to seeing Pete in something more serious.
And I'm looking forward to seeing the Inouye that he brings to the table. And the rest of Lee Ness, I feel like he'll be able to
really capture
the rest of Lee Ness.
What is that word? Restiveliness?
I don't know.
That's not a word.
That's just like.
By the way, it's also, it was two separate words. Restively, which I don't think is a word.
Space N-E-S-S.
What the fuck? But I actually would definitely see this movie.
For sure. And I think this could be Pete Davidson's like big.
Yeah.
Shift in his career
from like being stand up. Like,
comedian and SNL and like King of Staten Island, like that fun stuff to like. Hard-hitting actor, perhaps.
No, it's like kind of like what Shallow Hal did for Jack Black.
It is kind of like that.
That's such a good movie.
No, it's like Steve Carell.
Yeah, like, you know, when he started going like really serious, like Dan, Life of Dan. Remember that movie?
No.
Dan?
And no, I
Does
don't remember
know what movie I'm talking about.
Marvin, Martian, that one, the one with like.
Oh no, that one, Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, and that one was like Little Marvin.
I'm honestly not a huge Steve Carell girl, clearly.
And also he was in
Crazy Stupid Love.
No, but that was when he was like transitioning into like the more serious
roles.
There
was the movie about Dan. Like,
right, let's just go to his catalog. There was also the movie with Billie Jean King.
Oh, I have no idea.
Right? Well, not with her, about her.
Steve Carell. Dan in real life.
Okay.
It was a comedy drama.
Welcome to Marwin. That's what I'm thinking of. Okay, Battle of the Sexes is Billie Jean King one. He was in Vice. He was in The Big Short. Amazing movie. He was in Crazy Stupid Love. And unfortunately, I think he was in Dinner for Schmucks.
Yes, he was. He was literally the star, and he was the most annoying character.
Horrific. He's in actually so many movies, but it's like going from 40-year-old virgin to...
Yeah, no, he has actually had like a really strong transitional career from like silly comedy to he's like a really serious actor now. Like, I don't know if he has been nominated for an Oscar, but like it's definitely in his future.
Yeah, so I feel like that perhaps could be. That's Pete Davidson's future as well.
Interesting. Very good call.
Next up, Madison LaCroix speaking out on A-Rod and J-Lo's breakup. And by speaking out, she said five words. The Southern Charm star told Page Six on Thursday when reached out about the split, quote, I wish them the best.
That's five words. Okay. Honestly, it's like not Madison LaCroix's fault at all.
No. But she's enmeshed.
Yeah, which is crazy, just like in general. Like, it's actually a great moment for Bravo.
It is a great moment for Bravo, just being...
A part of the narrative.
A part of this big story. This big ship laying dormant in the South China Sea.
Also, somebody had a good suggestion for one
new
of
ships.
Our new ship recommendations. Russell Wilson and Ciara.
Yes. Ciara. And also Hailey and Justin Bieber.
Yes and yes. I actually have like really big ships. I might be able to even fill a J-Lo and A-Rod with one of them.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like we weren't able to think creatively.
No.
But some people did give us good suggestions.
Yeah, and I feel good about kind of the replacements.
Agreed.
And best of luck to the boat sitting at the bottom of the South China Sea.
Best of luck. Dormant.
Dormant.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
It's the final story.
Dealing with what I think one of my favorite topics that we've ever discussed on any of our shows. And that is Fyre Festival. Fyre Festival attendees win a $7,200 settlement each in a $2 million class action lawsuit.
Oh my God,
I'm
like, $7,200 they all have to split?
No. $7,200 each. A $2 million class action lawsuit settlement was reached Tuesday in U.S. bankruptcy court in the Southern District of New York between the festival's organizers and 277 ticket holders, according to documents obtained by People. The final amount is still subject to the court's approval, though as it currently stands, each ticket holder would receive about $7,200.
And that's for, like, the price of their flight tickets and just, like,
general
torture.
Trauma.
Yeah, okay. Like, emotional distress, I think it's what it's called in the legal system.
Yeah, and, like, false advertising.
I mean, honestly, $7,200 per person is not enough.
No, it's not.
If I had actually went and, like, landed on this remote island and was given a piece of bread with a slab of cheese in, like, a plastic container and given a tent to live in when I paid for a villa, hell hath no fury. Like, those people wish I was a part of this fucking lawsuit. I would have taken them for everything they have. But at the same time, you're suing people who are bankrupt. So it's like, what's the point?
And like, the people who went to Fyre Festival, like, if you watch the documentary, like, they... What were you doing?
You know, one of my biggest flexes is that I didn't fall for, not saying that it was their fault, because it was advertised by, like, fabulous people. But I just feel proud that, like, I wasn't, like, you know, convinced by Bella Hadid to go to a music festival.
Based on nothing other than the fact that Bella Hadid posted a video that had nothing to do with
it. And like Emily Ratajkowski and like Kendall Jenner. Like, I actually feel like really proud of myself because I like to think of myself as like someone who's easily persuaded, but like maybe I'm not because like the coolest people in the world couldn't convince me to go down to a fabulous weekend in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And I don't even blame people who did get convinced because they are very convincing people.
Yeah.
But I'm just really proud of myself. Not to make it about me.
No, I agree.
Because that's something we, like, could have went to.
It's true. I remember Zach sent it to us. And he was like, this looks cool when all, like, the promo was coming out. And we're just, like, lazy.
Yeah, we're like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
Get the tickets. Like, we'll go. But just, like, I'm not.
Imagine.
That I had to blame Zach.
Oof. So that's like a little bit of justice for the attendees.
We love to see it.
But I remember when watching the documentary, it's like the real justice that needed to be served was for the people of the island who gave like resources, food, labor towards this festival.
Just got like taken advantage of, and then the island was left trashed too.
So justice for the islanders, locals. Justice for the locals.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, those are the Fast Five, and...
I feel as though you needed to know them.
No, very well-rounded. We got finance, we got justice, we got legislation, like we got it all.
Yeah, we do have it all. And that's what you can expect from the Morning Toast, including a recap of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yeah, so what did you think of the episode?
I barely remember it. When I came in this morning, I was like, wait, fuck, did I forget to watch Kardashians? No, I watched it. And shockingly, the most interesting part was Poosh.
Yeah.
That Poosh drama was like actually pretty crazy and real. Like, felt very authentic.
It's very like Dash Dolls.
No, it's like, that's like the fact that she was like having to like scold her high school friend like for talking back to her in a group chat, like drama.
Yeah, no, I can't lie.
The way that her friend was sitting there in the bucket hat and the sunglasses, like with her mouth agape, like was so crazy. Imagine like showing up to a meeting like that.
No, totally. And like, you know what? I can't lie.
You didn't watch.
I didn't watch. I told you, I was literally up all night and I went to bed at 10 o'clock. My stomach was hurting me so bad for my chili. And the only thing I could do to like ease my pain was go to sleep. So that's why I just like wanted to hear from you what happened.
Okay, not much happened. So I would say like that was the most interesting facet. Like literally Courtney needing to sit down with her employees and be like, you guys are employees. Like yeah. We're not, this isn't like...
That's like hard.
This isn't a democracy. This is a cheerocracy.
That's like
she said it.
The Steph Shep of it all, too. Like when you become so close with your employees.
This is different. She hired old friends. She didn't become friends with, bless you. She hired two friends from high school. She didn't become close with an employee.
No, but even in general, it doesn't matter how. Like if you're close with your employees, like it does become awkward when like you need to like lay the gauntlet down.
Yeah. And one of her friends from high school was like talking back to her in the group chat, like this vibe isn't for me. She literally was like, I'm just gonna excuse myself from this vibe and left the chat.
Whew.
Yeah, it was really crazy. So that was the most interesting part. I thought Courtney handled it really well.
Addison was in the episode I saw on TikTok.
Addison walked into the room while Courtney was complaining about the Poosh drama, and it said Addison Rae dancer. And then dancer. She sat at the table and I don't even think she was mic'd up. I didn't hear a word.
Okay.
It was fuck. Upsetting. It
That's
was
so upsetting. They really need to start utilizing their best asset.
It was an Addison tease. Then Chloe and Tristan put the episode on their backs.
Because they went UFO hunting?
Because they went UFO hunting, which was like so stupid. They literally had like a Zoom session with a UFO expert.
Stupid.
So stupid. But they thought they saw UFOs, but it was kind of annoying because like Chloe, they're like staking out outside, like trying to see a UFO over the Pacific Ocean. And they see something and Chloe like runs to get her phone and she misses it. But the camera got it, the show. So she was like, I'm so mad I didn't get to capture it. But you did capture it.
And not only did you capture it not on your phone, you got like a full-blown like,
yeah, no,
$10,000 camera.
Yeah, I saw what you saw. Like, yeah. Can you just like...
That's cool.
Yeah. And Courtney was like, why didn't you get a video? Like, I want to see. I'm like, watch the show. Keeping Up with Kardashians.
No, literally.
8 o'clock.
And
Thursdays.
It's in more high definition than your phone could have ever gotten.
Yeah, so it's
That's
like...
so stupid.
It's so stupid. That like bugged me. And then Caitlin had reached out to Chris because her career is kind of stalled because of COVID. Well, actually, Sophia had reached out to Chris on Caitlin's behalf.
Not stalled because of COVID. It's stalled because like...
No, well, I guess she
had been doing... Caitlin's not that interesting anymore.
Well, she had been doing motivational speaking and like speaking engagements and that is stalled.
Yes.
So Chris like suggested she make a YouTube channel. And at first I was like, oh, she's sabotaging. She doesn't want Caitlin to succeed. But then they showed some clips of like cooking with Caitlin and she was making recipes from like Chris's cookbook.
Oh, that's
and then
cute.
The girls like Kim called her and was like, oh my God, we remember we used to make that. And
I mean, I'm happy that they really are all getting along. So it seems like even Chris.
Yeah. And so the girls were like, we understand if Chris doesn't want to help her, but I think in helping her, it was like, beneficial for Chris's process.
Journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like always been like the sad thing because like when they play like old episodes of Kardashians, like the first like 5 seasons on E! All the time, and you see how Caitlyn was like such an influential part of all the girls' lives, and now it's like fast forward, it's like we don't even see Caitlyn like ever.
Yeah.
So I really hope, and of course these things take time, there is like a brokenness there, but I do really hope one day like that they can all get back on the same page.
And it seems like this was a good... Like, this is a good part of that journey for them. So, you didn't miss anything. I won't even say you should, like, watch it in order to watch it next week.
They really need to pick things up. Like, this is the final season. You want people to start watching your Hulu show. Like, this season, not cutting it.
And then next week's episode is, like, Courtney and Scott talking about if they should get married. And, like...
Like, we know they're not. He's dating a 12-year-old.
He's dating a 12-year-old, and she's part of Kravis. So, let's move on. And, like, you should have scrapped the episode and thrown it in the bin.
Yeah, because it's, like, the bin. Because it's honestly embarrassing for you guys.
Yeah, no, I'm embarrassed. And I don't ship Scort, like, on any day of the week.
No, I'm so over
Even
them.
Even if Courtney is single as a Pringle, and so is Scott, I still don't ship. They
Me
are
neither.
In two different boats.
Of course, like, for the kids, I think it would be great if they got back together. But they seem to co-parent, like, so healthy. Like, maybe the best I've ever seen. So, I think we should just leave that alone. Let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah, the other thing that people were talking about I saw on Toast After Dark is, like, Chloe and Tristan's, like, dynamic. And, like, they were, like, they have no chemistry. Like, And I did get the vibe that, like, Chloe gets, like, really annoyed by him. And, like, you know what I mean? But yeah. I also feel like that's kind of part of, like, being in a relationship is, like, when your partner says something and you're, like, rolling your eyes.
No, you're like, shut up.
But he's really trying for the show. Like,
no, that's what I was going to say. It's like, I don't think we can judge their chemistry based off the show because he's new to the show. He's just like acting.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to judge at all, like, what their relationship and chemistry is like because it's so awkward on the show. Chloe's used to it. Like, who Chloe is on the show, I really believe, is like who she is as a person.
No, but it's also like, I imagine, I was thinking about this, like, when the cameras turn on, like, Chloe gets into, like, camera mode and, like, sort of like how we do on the show. Like, mm-hmm. But if you bring someone on who's never done it before, like, you might get really irritated by everything they say.
And maybe that's
why we fight with our husbands every time we do a podcast.
Oh, I fight with Ben every time we do a podcast. So that'll be us next week.
Oh, how exciting. Great segue.
Good luck on your journey.
Thank you.
We will all be thinking of you. Everyone have a great weekend. Reminder, Monday through Wednesday of next week, we are still back in the studio, YouTube, and podcast. Me and Ben will be hosting. And then Thursday, Friday of next week, there are no episodes. So I just wanted to remind you guys of that. Jackie will be vlogging her entire wellness experience on the Patreon. So patreon.com/themorningtoast.
Also, like, I don't know what the vibe is going to be there. You know, I might have to, like, bring a tripod to, like, take some pictures.
Oh, that's horrifying.
But assuming, like, everything, I mean, I might be, like, also sharing a lot on my Instagram. I don't know yet. I'll have to see.
You'll
like
see.
Is it weird me, like, taking selfies at the wellness retreat? Like, is that weird? No. I don't know.
We'll see. Just as long as someone's looking.
And it's like, if it's super pretty, I'm gonna, like, want to take some pictures, but, like, there's gonna be no one there to take a picture of me. So just know, if you see any photos of me, like, either I did self-timer or I made
just a keep that in mind.
Or I made a friend.
Probably self-timer. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us The Morning Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an amazing weekend. Stay safe out there. Don't drink and drive. And we'll see you on Monday.
Goodbye. 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 Bye. 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 Bye.